for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
You've pledged to protect our nation and community. Why not let Sandy Egg Tassati, your local farmer's insurance agent, help you protect your family? Sandy has 30 years of experience as one of farmers' leading agents. She specializes in serving military families and stands ready to review your existing policies or provide a no-obligation quote today. Sandy will help you protect your family with the same commitment and passion you have for protecting our nation. Call the Sandy Egg Tassati Agency at 520-881-8000 and get smarter about your insurance today. Again, Sandy Egg Tassati at 520-881-8000.
American Warrior Radio is paid for by Ronin Business Services. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors. We all owe them, but very few of us know them. They took an oath to protect us at home and abroad, so the rest of us can live safe and free. They are the men and women of our military and first responder communities, and these are their stories. American Warrior Radio is on the air.
Vietnam POW and MIA wives did not have the luxury of being damsels in distress. Fate and history made them all into something else, something far more substantial. These by-the-book military wives were transformed by circumstance into international diplomats, hostage negotiators, coders of secret letters, and activists. When politicians called them girls and patted them on the head, telling them not to worry, they got angry. Angry and frustrated enough to take their fate and their husbands' fates into their own very capable hands. Hello, everyone. Welcome to American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. I was a child during the Vietnam War. Much of it spent overseas where the news and social upheaval didn't really have an impact or register with my family. In fact, my only strong memory of the war was when my oldest brother was approaching draft age. Thankfully, those fears did not come to pass with the signing of the Paris Peace Accords and the elimination of the draft in 1973. Ironically, the thought came around again when my high school class became the first to be required to re-register for the newly reinstituted draft in 1980. Some families were not so lucky. The ultimate cost of war was visited directly upon tens of thousands of American families, and for one group, it was a burden perhaps worse than the tragic but at least final news of a family member killed in action. For this group, it became the lingering torture of a husband, father, brother, taken prisoner of war, or the torment of a fate unknown, missing in action. Today, we're going to tell the story of one particular group of military wives who decided to do something about it, turning their own fears into something much more powerful and taking on our own government in the process. The words I introduced today's show with came from the book The League of Wives, written by Heath Hartage Lee, and she joins us on American Warrior Radio today to tell this very powerful story. Heath, welcome to American Warrior Radio.
Hi, Ben. Thank you for having me.
I, you and I probably share at least one thing in common, Heath, in that both of us were really too young to much remember about the war. You certainly younger than I. But what a powerful story. And I'm so glad that we crossed paths and that we have the opportunity to tell this story today.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be on your show. I know you've just had so many wonderful people, including a number of POWs I talked to you for my book on your show. So I know we'll have lots to discuss.
Well, a little bit about you, Heath, your background. And now, as I understand it, you don't have really any direct military ties, do you?
Not at all. Just really none at all. So this was a revelation to me from that standpoint.
So your background is in mostly, you know, museum education programs. What was your inspiration, A, to begin writing, and B, what was it? How did you come across the story of these amazing military wives, and what inspired you to tell this story?
Yes, well, you know, so often with biographies, it's a personal connection that draws you in. And in this case, as you pointed out, I am come from a museum kind of curatorial and education background. So I am in museum archives a lot, had done a lot of digging for a previous book I did at the Virginia Museum of History and Culture in Richmond, Virginia, where I worked doing some project work for them and came across some archival records from a woman, Phyllis Galanti, who had also by chance been a good friend of my mother's and had been in her book club for 30 years. Phyllis passed away unexpectedly, and her records and diaries and all kinds of her papers turned up at the Virginia Museum of History and Culture, where I was doing some work. And the staff alerted me to these papers and said, Heath, you do women's history. We know you're looking for a new topic. You should look at these. So I looked at Phyllis's papers. I spent 2 hours with them one Saturday, now 5 years ago, and thought, oh my God, this is an epic Vietnam War story that I have never heard anything about. And so it just went from there. Those papers were like a treasure map that led me all over the country to talk to military wives, primarily Navy and Air Force wives of prisoners of war and missing from the Vietnam War.
Sure. Yeah. Most of the prisoners of war were aviators.
Yeah.
And officers. Now, as I understand it, not a lot of enlisted folks ended up being POWs.
Absolutely correct. The vast majority were Navy and Air Force aviators who were shot down in the air war. Most were officers. Most had advanced education. We had a lot of Naval Academy graduates. So most of them were in that mold and were trained fighters, had all been to Sears School, so had a lot of experience in that area.
Well, and let's not forget our Marines too. I've interviewed a number of Marines that were flying aircraft.
Yeah.
So you're clearly very educated, very well researched, Heath. I consider myself reasonably educated. I read a lot. Why on earth did neither one of us ever hear this story before?
Oh yeah, it kind of horrifies me that nobody had heard of this. And yeah, I had no idea. I have worked in the women's history space now for 20 plus years, and it's only been really in the past 8 to 10 years that women's history is really becoming more illuminated. There are just thousands, tens of thousands of stories about women like this that we're really just now uncovering, which is a shame that it has taken this long. So I think it was because, A, it's women's history, and so much women's history has not been written down, has not been recorded. So there's that. And then the layer on top of it, which I think we'll probably talk about some more today, is this keep quiet policy that our government and the military had for years, where if you are a military spouse and your husband, son, brother is shot down or is captured, you were not allowed to say anything about it during the Vietnam War under the Lyndon Johnson regime. This would change later under President Nixon. But there is a whole layer of keeping quiet on top of the fact that it's women's history that sealed this as tight as an Egyptian tomb for a long time. Mm-hmm. Only recently have people even been willing to talk about this history. So I think there are several layers to this that made it more of a complicated, unknown story.
Well, and you're right. I want to get into that after the break because there are several layers, and I found it very, Heath, English isn't my first language, but words come to mind, tragic and discouraging and inspirational and good for them and, bad for us. And just a lot of emotions come out from reading your book, The League of Wives. Real quick, though, before the break, you've maybe gained a powerful new ally in telling this story. Tell us about your upcoming major motion picture, maybe, kind of, sort of.
Right, yes. Oh, I've been so thrilled to be able to tell people. The book has been optioned now by Reese Witherspoon, the actress and quite a women's history advocate herself. She has a production company, Hello Sunshine, and she and Sony Pictures, Sony 3000, that division of the studio, have partnered on this and have optioned the film. I'm an executive producer and a historical consultant. So I'm really excited that we may be able to get this story out in a big way to people through a feature film.
Outstanding. Now, can you, how does that work, Heath? Do you have input, are they?
Yes.
Okay, so can we write in a scene with a radio talk show host?
Of course. We can, have your people call my people and make that happen.
I don't have people, but that's okay.
I don't either, but we'll just say that because it sounds great.
Ladies and gentlemen, the book is called The League of Wives, and it sounds like a superhero's tale. It really, truly is. More with Heath Hartage-Lee when we come back. Stick around.
Churrasco de Brasil is an authentic Brazilian culinary experience unlike anything in Tucson. Our chefs have mastered the traditional churrasco style of cooking meat, which is sliced tableside by our gauchos. Enjoy a variety of steaks, chicken, lamb, and more, plus our extensive salad bar and hot side dish stations. Check us out today at the Tucson Mall, 150 West Wetmore, or at churrascodebrasil.com.
Diamondback Shooting Sports is the experience and expertise you deserve and expect when it comes to Class 3 transfers. They've completed hundreds of Class 3 applications over the years, and they don't farm out any portion of the application process to third parties. Kiosks are great if you want a cup of coffee, but for Class 3 transfers, let the experts at Diamondback do the job for you. Completed application forms, live scan fingerprinting, NFA gun trust, passport-style photos, and notary stamp. They do it all, they do it in-house, and they do it right. Visit dbackshootingsports.com for more information or call 886-83. To those of you holding the blue line, listen up. Since opening their doors, the Trident Grill has always supported the men and women who wear the badges of our local, regional, and federal law enforcement agencies. That is why right now, all four Trident Grill locations and the Trident Pizza Pub are offering a 50% discount to any uniformed law enforcement professional. All day, every day. 50% discount on your meal for any uniformed law enforcement officer at all Trident Grill restaurants. Visit TridentGrill.com for menus, hours, and locations. Thank you, and stay safe.
Hi, this is Chris Edwards from Tucson Appliance and Furniture. I want to thank all active and retired military personnel for their service. Being involved in the military is the biggest sacrifice a family can make. At Tucson Appliance and Furniture, we try to show our appreciation by offering military discounts for appliances and furniture. There may be an additional discount if you mention American Warrior. I have been an honorary group commander for 7 years and see firsthand your contributions to this country. Tucson Appliance and Furniture Companies are located at Speedway in Columbus, where our low prices are your priority.
These days, we're all paying more attention to our health, but when's the last time you thought about your doctor?
Do you have your doctor's personal cell phone number? We do, and she answers personally.
Does your doctor recognize the expense of health care and only bill in 15-minute increments? Do they care enough about your privacy to only maintain paper records? Does your doctor make house calls? Ours does.
Dr. Lori Thomas is our hometown family doctor. She practices medicine the old-fashioned way. We love her approach, and you will too.
Be healthy and happy by visiting LoriThomasMD.com and tell her American Warrior Radio sent you.
Studies show that veterans are 30% more likely to experience hearing loss. The doctors at Sonora Hearing Care specialize in providing treatment solutions to help you lead a more comfortable and productive life. Many of our satisfied patients are veterans and active duty military. If you are becoming frustrated with only hearing parts of conversations or with the ringing or buzzing from tinnitus, call Sonora Hearing Care today to schedule an appointment. The professional and caring staff at Sonora Hearing Care will evaluate your condition and make recommendations for the best treatment. Call 881-8740 today or visit SonoraHearingCareTucson.com.
In an uncertain time, have you been putting off your medical imaging needs? Don't! Since 1933, Radiology Limited has been Southern Arizona's leader in specialized radiology services, and we're ready to serve you at locations all across the valley. And now we offer two additional centers dedicated to our tradition of exceptional patient services, St. Mary's Medical Plaza in Tucson and Carondelet Medical Mall in Green Valley. To learn more, go to radltd.com. Don't delay potentially life-saving screening. At Radiology Limited, we take care of those closest to you.
Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with Heath Hartage-Lee. Her book, The League of Wives, The Untold Story of the Women Who Took on the U.S. Government to Bring Their Husbands Home, is just a really, really compelling read. And I encourage anyone who cares about the military families today needs to read this. And we'll get into this a little later. Our author says it's kind of a cautionary tale. Heath, back to you. What's interesting to me, and particularly folks of our generation, and it's important for the readers who pick up your book today or follow this story to understand the context of the times in which this has happened. You know, back then, society's preeminent view of women's role in the early 1960s was not what it is today. I mean, really, it was a period where they went from Rosie the Riveter, you know, critical supporting the war effort, then to Donna Reed and June Cleaver.
Yes. Oh, you have hit on one of my favorite topics to talk about. So that's exactly right. I mean, during World War II, women became so empowered. You mentioned Rosie the Riveter. They went in the factories. They were working, doing all these jobs. And I say something in the book about how Rosie traded in her blowtorch for a vacuum cleaner. And then we have Donna Reed. So the 50s are sort of that period. Then you have the 60s that come along. And by the end of the 60s, mid-60s on, you have the feminist movement, the civil rights movement. You have such a turmoil in society about the Vietnam War. Women's roles change dramatically just in those couple of years. So these women are sort of betwixt and between. They're sort of 50s women, but they really become empowered in the mid-60s and early 70s by the war. And they're not doing it for themselves. So they are not doing it to be feminist. Most of them told me they were definitely not feminist, but they were humanists. They were human rights advocates going and being activists on behalf of their husbands. It was very, very selfless, but in the process, they really empower themselves as women. So it's a really interesting transformation and much different than what you would hear say about somebody during the feminist movement. So I think it's really unique.
Yeah. If we don't read our history, we're bound to forget it and repeat it. Heath, one of the things that really jumped out at me, I do regular briefings at my local military base for officers' spouses, and it's sort of a, you know, welcome to town, here's things to see and do, you know, how can the community help you out. One of the briefers prior to me also does a little section on things not to do as a military spouse, and it makes me chuckle a little bit. But then I went to your book and I saw the wives manuals, the Navy wives manual, the Marine wives manual, the Army wives. I mean, there was actually how-to books that were given to these spouses, correct? Back in the day.
Oh, absolutely. And they are hilarious. I mean, when I first read that, I had one of my Navy wife friends gave it to me, and she was like, you're going to get really mad and you're going to laugh really hard. And I think it was kind of equally split that way, because the ones I had were from the 1960s. And so, you know, these, as a curator, I looked at them. They're really artifacts of the time period. And these protocol manuals start in really during World War II to kind of keep morale up. They have lots of good practical advice about deployments, about, you know, how to act, and sort of the military hierarchy is all laid out. So these are useful documents, but then you get to the 1960s and they look to our modern eyes just hilarious in some ways. They have lists like what the Navy wife should bring on her honeymoon, what lingerie should she bring with her, and then, you know, they have some stuff that's a little more practical about what silverware you should have, but it looks extremely antiquated and pretty sexist, you know, I must say, at times. But it gives you a snapshot into what those wives' existence was like at the time.
Bingo. And also the framework, the military framework in which they were held down in some ways. Because, yes. I mean, even today, I mean, really, and that's one thing I really respect about the military is it is, for those married couples, it is a joint effort. irregardless. Right. And you have to look out for each other, and you have to be cautious about what you can do to each other's career. But I think that context was important to mention. And there's a number of heroes in this book. Let's start with Sybil Stockdale, the wife of Admiral James Stockdale. Tell us about that September 9th, 1965, in Sybil's life.
Oh, yes. Well, so Sybil, as you can, I'm sure, see from reading the book, she is the center of the book. She is, everything kind of revolves around Sybil as the, you know, founder of the San Diego League of Wives, the group that first started this POW-MIA effort, and then later as the head of the National League of Families, which exists in another incarnation even today to advocate now for the missing. But Sybil was this highly educated, really savvy military wife. So Jim, her husband, is shot down in 1965 in September. She is the senior ranking wife in Coronado, California, where they are based out of at the time. She's 40 years old. She knows the military ropes, and it is just de facto that she will be in charge of all the POW MIA wives in the San Diego area, because her rank, and I put that in air quotes, reflects her husband's rank.
Right.
I mean, this is how the military works. I did not understand that at all, being a civilian, until I did this book. So all the wives know that she will head up this movement, and they will fall in line behind her. And this is where I think the military it's very useful and very helpful, because everybody knew their place there. And then you have Jim Stockdale, the highest ranking naval POW in the infamous Hanoi Hilton prison, and everybody falls in line behind him. So that's how that structure works. And what I found so fascinating is it also works on the home front with the spouses. So, very interesting.
Heath, it's you might also find this interesting, given my interaction with military. There's also sort of a flip side of that coin nowadays, where sometimes, and particularly with senior enlisted, they have to remind the spouses that, you know, your husband or your wife earned the rank, you didn't.
Your husband or
wife is a colonel or a general doesn't mean you are. Just keep that in context. But yeah, the support system is outstanding. And in our pre-interview, we talked a little bit about that scene from We Were Soldiers, where the spouses, the wives, get together and start working through this. And your story reminded me so much of that. Now, Admiral Stockdale, if I'm not mistaken, he was eventually awarded the Medal of Honor.
Oh, yes. And what's so funny, I just spoke 2 weeks ago for the Medal of Honor Museum in Arlington, Texas, which is not quite finished being constructed. So we did a virtual talk on Admiral Stockdale and his Medal of Honor. So that is exactly right. That comes, of course, after he returns home with honor and he receives that. So, yes, he's an amazing person. And he, by the way, deserves a really good biography of his own, which he has not had yet. So maybe somebody out there that's a military expert should do that.
Now, Sybil also was recognized with an award or I wouldn't say a medal, but she was treated pretty special. I mean, recognized.
Oh,
right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, she got the Navy, it's called the Navy Ombudsman Award, and was the only wife to get that at the time, and I believe still is. So she has been recognized with that and numerous other civic awards. But, you know, again, people in Coronado, everybody knows who the Stockdales are, but once you get out of that area, not everybody does know. And so one of my goals with this book, with an exhibit also called The League of Wives I've done that we may talk about a little bit, and with some other efforts I'm working on, I'd like to get Sybil, and all these women should be in the history books, and they sadly aren't in there as of yet, but I hope someday we'll make that happen.
You know, Heath, I want people to read the book, The League of Wives. We don't want to give too much of it away, but just a couple minutes before the next break, just what are some of the other heroines in this book, you know, Denton and some, tell us, just share some of those other names.
Sure. Sure. Well, there is Jane Denton, who is Jeremiah Denton, is a famous Navy POW and also a classmate of Jim Stockdale's, who people I'm sure know about. He is the one that blinks torture in Morse code with his eyelids, and you can go on YouTube and look for that. This is how Naval Intelligence knows torture is going on. His wife, Jane Denton, is Sybil's counterpart on the East Coast. She is one of the big leaders of the POW MIA wives on the East Coast. Her colleague, Louise Mulligan, also a big leader in Virginia Beach. Her husband, Jim Mulligan, is one of the famous Alcatraz 11 POWs, along with Denton. So those two are very important. Andrea Rander, who is an Army POW wife, one of the few Army ones in the book, but she is one of the founding members of the National League of Families and is the only Black woman on the founding board of the National League. So they're all very important. I could go on and on. Lots of MIA wives as well. So
right.
We can talk about that.
Yeah, we don't want to overlook that, because that group then had even after victory, if you will, it was very sobering for them when it turns out that they fortunately finally learned the fate, but it wasn't maybe what they're hoping for. Heath, real quick, are any of these heroines still around? Are they still with us?
Oh, yes, many are okay. Still around. Andrea Rander, who I just mentioned, is still around. Louise Mulligan, I talked to both of them in the past week. They're doing fantastic. Andrea is 80 and Louise is 90.
Wonderful.
They are amazing women. Oh, many, many of them are still with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia, speaking with Heath Hartage Lee, her great book, The League of Wives. When we come back, it's bad enough that these spouses had to suffer the tragedy of their husbands being shot down and taken prisoner of war, but then our government did not exactly do anything to help. Stick around. We'll talk more about that when we get back. I don't think I need to remind you to shop locally. That's why Laura and I just bought our brand new oven from the friendly folks at Tucson Appliance Company. A huge selection you can save every day over any big box store price. If you need a replacement or an upgrade, visit Tucson Appliance at Speedway in Columbus, where their low prices are my priority.
Military life can do a number on your back. Did you know chronic pain affects 44% of military personnel? The Joint Chiropractic is here to help, offering a discount on chiropractic care for active and retired military members and their families. Come in now to experience the Joint's exclusive military pricing of just $19 for your initial consultation, exam, and adjustment. Open evenings and weekends. No appointment or insurance required. Visit thejoint.com for a location near you in Tucson. You have our back. Let us help you with yours.
There's never been a better time to get out and enjoy our great outdoors and improve your health. Whether you're a recreational cyclist or a competitor, check out Tucson Endurance Performance Center. Owner Brian Grasky is an F-16 pilot and competed at the national level. He knows the importance of quality equipment kept in top shape. That's why Tucson Endurance Performance Center has the most experienced techs in town. Check out their variety of bicycles, equipment, and gear at TucsonEnduranceCenter.com or stop by one of their two locations, northeast corner of Oracle and Orange Grove, or in the Crossroads Festival Complex at Grant and Swan.
During this crisis, government has taken every opportunity to mask your liberty, making you dependent on them. Don't do that. Let us guide you so you can declare your financial independence. I'm Eb Wilkinson with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. That's imuswilkinson.com. Call us at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Brushfire Barbecue, Tucson's best barbecue, has adjusted to these interesting times. With takeout, curbside pickup, and delivery, there's no reason to miss out on your favorite barbecue. And now Brushfire introduces COVID-safe catering. Cater your holiday gathering with individually prepared and packed meals for every guest. Always a military discount at both Tucson locations, 22nd and Kolb or Campbell and Glen. Check out menus, prices, and options at brushfirebbq.com or call their catering department at 520-850-0306.
Hi, this is Craig Morgan. During this crisis, homeless veterans are alone, often sleeping on nothing more than a piece of cardboard. We need to act now. You have the power to move them from cardboard to headboard. Every dollar donated to Veterans Matters moves a homeless hero from the streets into their own home. To help, visit cardboardtoheadboard.org. They are not alone. They have you.
Skill, dependability, and tradition, all words associated with military service. For over 50 years, family-owned Ambassador Diamond Jewelers has applied these concepts in their business, becoming Tucson's largest and most experienced purveyor of wedding sets, engagement rings, and certified loose diamonds. They offer jewelry for everyone and every occasion. Visit their convenient central location at 4668 East Speedway at Swan, or visit ambassadordiamonds.com. Their graduate gemologists even offer rapid jewelry repair. Good jewelry is a lifetime investment. Make yours with a trusted team at ambassadordiamonds.com.
For some people, difficult transitions like retirement, divorce, or loss of a loved one may contribute to feelings of hopelessness or even thoughts of suicide. The risk of suicide is even higher for men over 50 who've served our country. Guys like me. Support from friends and family makes such a big difference. Every day, your actions could help save a life. Learn how you can help at veteranscrisisline.net.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows. Refinance and save money now, or get into your dream home. The Dellinger team at Nova Home Loans finds you the best rate. 440-0516 or azfamilyfirst.com. Sean and Tiffany have a special passion for helping military and first responder families. Anywhere in Arizona, Colorado, California, or Nevada, the Dellinger team, azfamilyfirst.com. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087BK, 0902429. Equal housing lender.
Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. Very pleased to be joined today by Heath Hartage Lee. Just a wonderful book, really, and an untold tale in many ways about just the brave and frankly stubborn wives who during the Vietnam War were really a critical part of bringing their husbands home from their imprisonment in Vietnam. Heath, where can folks find out more about you and what you're up to?
Sure. Well, I do have a website. It's www.heathleeauthor.com. I've got tons on there about, you know, press, and you can watch a lot of my talks there. Lots of great pictures of the wives in the book. So that's all up there if you care to check it out.
Wonderful. Now, Heath, I still believe that the U.S. is the greatest nation on earth, but I'll also be the first to admit that our government has not always done right by us, or in some cases by the world. One of the real underlying tragedies of this whole story is how these spouses were treated. And you touched on the, you know, basically no information at all, just, you know, be a good wife, pat on the head, be quiet. But just other things that made me shake my head and broke my heart. I mean, the idea that they're somewhere being asked to move off the base or being shunned by other wives because it was, you know, was not good luck or poor form to have them around. And just, I mean, expand upon some of those things that they faced here on the home front.
Oh yeah, I found it heartbreaking, and you know, I think we have a wonderful country, but there's certainly the government has always had its flaws. I mean, humans are running the government. I think we forget that. So they are, everyone has their flaws, and I was really struck by the difference between first the Johnson administration and the Nixon administration. So I mentioned earlier this keep quiet policy, which under Johnson, it was very much enforced that you were to say nothing about your husband, what was going on. And so these wives for years were told to keep quiet and not talk about this at all, which ended up being exactly the wrong call. That was killing the men, not talking about it. So under President Nixon, the women had already gone public in the newspapers, et cetera. So Nixon was not the one that empowered them to go public. They did themselves, empowered themselves to do this at great risk to themselves, and some worried about their husband's career. But they realized it was imperative that people, the media, know what was going on so they could embarrass the North Vietnamese into some kind of compliance. And that risk they took paid off. It indeed helped to stop the torture and get the men better treatment. So there was that aspect. And what they faced, oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, ostensibly, what was the rationale for the administration to keep quiet? Was it they thought that it would put their husbands at risk, or would not help with the negotiations, all of the above?
Really all of the above. And, you know, what they were really going by was sort of previous wars, more of a form of diplomacy that really might have worked for World War II, but was not working for this war. This was a very different war, even from the Korean War. And the Vietnamese just really, you know, didn't care. They were going to stick it out as long as they had to. So what our big concern was negotiations, was that if we upset the North Vietnamese, they would just withdraw, which, you know, they did do frequently from the negotiating table. However, the wives realized that not speaking out was a lot riskier than speaking out. Speaking out embarrassed the North Vietnamese into some form of compliance, finally. And as John McCain told me when I interviewed the late senator in 2016, he said, you know, many more men would have died had it not been for the women speaking out, embarrassing them into the Vietnamese into this compliance. So they had to treat us better. So it was a matter of life and death, really. And our government was just following a very old school model of diplomacy that was not applicable to this very different war.
Yeah, no question. That was a time of growing up, let's say, for our nation overall. But I think maybe, who knows, looking back, some folks might have just had struggled with the fact that here was an opponent who said, you know, Geneva Convention, whatever. I mean, they just were not playing at all. So the other things that just, and there's so much in here that will break people's hearts. But so here are these spouses, the financial strain and the emotional strain, the psychological strain. And here in many cases, I've got to be a mother and continue to raise the family and take care of business. And then, oh, by the way, I'm also going to be an activist. I mean, boy, you talk about, you know, having 13 different plates in the air at the same time.
Exactly right. I mean, it was such a heavy load on these women. And then, you know, our government, again, didn't help. I mean, they didn't let them. There's a 10% savings plan that I talk about a lot in the book. I got very upset for them. Personally, the women were not allowed to participate, the POW and MIA wives, because their husbands were not contributing to the economy because they were in the Hanoi Hilton. I mean, what? Yeah. You know, like this red tape, the government red tape just really made things so difficult. And it was like the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing. So they're dealing with that. They're dealing with sometimes they had not signed, the husbands had not thought to have them signed any kind of power of attorney. So they couldn't get mortgages. They couldn't take out loans for anything. They couldn't sign a lease on anything. So, you know, they couldn't open a checking account. It was just absolutely crazy. They couldn't cash checks. So there's that. And then they're trying to be activists, trying to raise all these children. The only way these women told me they survived was really through family support and their POW and my sisters, who in some cases became closer than blood relatives to them.
And that's definitely one of the inspirational threads that runs through your book. Heath, again, unfortunately, great guest. We run out of time pretty quick. But before we take the next break, there's also a number of other heroes in this story. But outside of that cadre of the spouses, one of my favorite heroes is Navy Commander Bob Burrows. Kind of a rule breaker.
I love him.
Tell us, our listeners, more about Bob.
Well, Bob is one that I immediately started casting for the movie. Even before there was any movie option, I thought, oh my God, if Tom Hanks were 20 years younger, this is a total Tom Hanks role. Maybe we can get his son, Colin. Maybe he would be good for this. I've thought about him. But Bob Burrows, he's a rogue, a bit of a rogue agent, a little sort of James Bond-ish, but he's really kind of your average Joe. You know, he's not like a Daniel Craig character with all the, you know, wonderful gadgets he has. Bob Burrows is the Naval Intelligence Officer who is a liaison with the POW Navy Wives, and he is the one who teaches Sybil Stockdale, Jane Denton, Phyllis Galante, and others to code secret letters to their husbands in the Hanoi Hilton. And so he kind of, you know, he realizes, unlike all the State Department people I talk about, like Avril Harriman, who was under LBJ's thumb, the ones who say keep quiet, Bob Burrows encourages Sybil to go public eventually when he sees things aren't working out. He encourages the women to code letters, and he sees the women as assets, not liabilities, which is the huge difference between Burrows and the State Department guys. He makes the difference.
You know, he's got a little bit of a Charlie Wilson vibe going on in my mind. But he's coloring outside the lines for the right reasons, but he was putting his own career at risk, I would guess. He didn't make any friends by doing this, I'm guessing, in the chain of command.
Oh, not at all. And he would use any means possible to get things done and go to, you know, collaborate outside of the silo, his little silo. He would go out and collaborate with friends in different areas of the government. And at that time, and I would venture to say even now, so many things in our government are siloed when it should be collaborative. And he saw that, and he just took the risk and did it. And that, again, it was the right call to make.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia, chatting with Heath Hartage Lee. Please get and read The League of Wives. When we come back, you know, it was like a slow building pressure, but eventually the dam broke. The wives had had enough. You'll learn more about that when we come back. Stick around. At The Specialists, they know the best quality window tint, paint protection, and alarm systems can defend your car. They do their job whether you're thinking about it or not. The Specialists remind you to take a moment to pause and thank those men and women who are protecting your rights, your freedoms, and your family. Many are doing so today, whether you're thinking about it or not. If you're a member of our armed forces looking to protect your vehicle, please visit any of the three locations in Tucson and one in Sierra Vista. Ask for your military discount. You've earned it. Find out more at az-specialist.com or call 795-430.
Our military and first responders provide us all security. But who is providing financial security for your family and business? At Vetrano Financial Services, we are committed to helping you navigate the current challenging financial landscape. Visit vetrano.net to learn more about our diverse solutions for business, family, and individuals. Request a free quote online or just give us a call at 520-544-7919. Vetrano Financial is a proud supporter of military and first responder charities. Vetrano.net. Insurance products issued by Principal National Life Insurance Company, except in New York. Principal Life Insurance Company securities and advisory products offered through Principal Securities Incorporated, 800-247-1737, member SIPC. Principal National, Principal Life, and Principal Securities Incorporated are members of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa 50392. Tom Vetrano, Joe Vetrano, Mike Duty, Principal National and Principal Life Financial Representatives, Principal Securities Registered Representatives, Financial Advisors. Vetrano Financial is not an affiliate of any company of the Principal Financial Group. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. To stay informed, sign up at rtanext.com. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and share your transportation priorities at rtanext.com.
Hey, listeners, I've purchased guns at Diamondback Shooting Sports, sold a rifle using their consignment program, and even had my trusty old first rifle repaired by their expert staff. If you're considering anything shooting-related, please visit my friends at Diamondback Shooting Sports on the corner of Broadway and Cole or dbackshootingsports.com.
Hello, friends. BBG here. One of the cool things about being a radio host is the opportunity to tell my friends about great products. I carry Ride-On Optics on my rifle, and here's why you should too. High-quality optics at the best possible prices, and every unit comes with an unlimited lifetime warranty. Of course, I love that they're the world's only military and law enforcement-owned optics company. Advanced features and crystal-clear glass means Ride-On has the right product for you. Hunting, tactical use, and long-range shooting. Available at retailers or online at ritonoptics.com. See the difference for yourself. Ride-On Optics.com.
Welcome back to American Warrior Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Heath Hartage Lee. Her book is The League of Wives. I really strongly encourage you to buy the book and read it. It is so important to understand in the context, particularly of what our nation is going through today. Heath, the A couple other things. One thing that kind of made me smile, and maybe this comes from your museum background, but you talk about this evolution and the change in the attitude of the spouses. And one of the points was the kind of what was going on in our society at the time, and just the change in clothing and styles of clothing. And yeah, I think it was, you said there was a congresswoman who, you know, oh my gosh, she wore a pantsuit on the floor of the house, and everybody's like, oh, you know, the world's going to come to an end. But I mean, that's what was going on, and it placed these military spouses in sort of a challenging but also opportune time of change.
Absolutely. And yes, you're completely right. My museum background, I love material culture. I love clothes personally and as a curator. And the exhibit I curated on the wives, we have a lot of their clothes before and after. So you start with these, you know, Jackie Kennedy 60s tweed boucle suits. And then by the early 70s, you've got mini skirts and go-go boots. So, I mean, if that doesn't tell you what's going on, I don't know what will. It's very, you know, obvious from the sartorial part of view, what's going on. I mean, there's women's liberation, there are civil rights, gay rights, there's so much going on. So these women, when the guys come home, it's a real shock for them. Jerry Denton's a good example. I think he was appalled at the long hair on the guys and the short skirts on the girls, you know, so there was really a shock. It was sort of like Rip Van Winkle. You know, they didn't know this was going on. So things changed so rapidly in that decade. And that's kind of my happy place as a historian, is the 60s and the 70s.
Well, it made me smile, too. Now, politics and war make strange bedfellows. The spouses had a very uneasy, I'll use that as a friendly word, mm-hmm. alliance with some of these peace activists. I was not even familiar with the, let me see if I can get this right, the Committee of Liaison mm-hmm. with Families of Servicemen Detained in North Vietnam and Cora Weiss. Describe uneasy mm-hmm. relationship.
Oh, yes. Uneasy is perhaps a kind way to describe it. Well, we all think of Jane Fonda immediately. And you know, I just felt like there's been enough about Jane. And Jane, believe it or not, was relatively harmless in this. But then you had Cora Weiss and her Committee of Liaison that you just noted, much more insidious, much, much more hurtful in the view of my wives. So this was a group that was really kind of almost like a communist front group. They were working really for the communists in North Vietnam. They were over there in control. Eventually, Cora's group was put in control of the mail going back and forth between our country and the Vietnamese. And the peace activists were literally put in charge of that by the North Vietnamese. That was the only way mail was getting to and from during the Nixon administration was under Cora Weiss and her group.
So that's why it was important, because that was really that may not have been the spouse's favorites, but this was the only mm-hmm. way to get communication in and out at the time.
Exactly. As some of the women in the book said, this was the deal with the devil they had to make, mm-hmm. was to ally with these folks that they were ideologically completely opposed to in order to get the mail through to the guys. And war makes strange bedfellows. It just was a compromise that had to be made. They didn't like it. But Bob Burrows said, do it by any means possible. We have got to get this information. And one of the parts I thought was most ironic and made me laugh is that Cora and the Committee of Liaison eventually are almost like drug mules. They're the ones carrying the coded letters to the prisoners. So I thought that had kind of an interesting irony to
it. Good point. Now, this is, pre-internet days. So, I mean, a lot of stuff, when that dam finally broke, and this took a lot of courage on the part of many of these women. I mean, some were more outgoing to begin with, but some were not, and they banded together. And one thing, you know, like I don't know how you describe it, but it was a telegram-thon thing where they just they decided to inundate the electeds with telegrams, pre-email.
Yes. Oh yeah, I love that. Yeah, pre-email and, you know, text messaging. We had something Sybil Stockdale created called a telegram in. This, again, what's so interesting, again, conservative military wives, but they're borrowing from the civil rights movement. You recall sit-ins. So this is the same thing, but applied to telegrams. A telegram in to inundate the Nixon administration. As soon as Nixon was inaugurated, the National League of Families inundated him with telegrams saying, do not forget the POWs. And the subtext, which wasn't very subtle, is, or we will not support your political administration.
Well, and in fairness, I'll tell you, I've got some bias. I wrote President Nixon a get-well card back when I was much younger, and he actually responded, or at least his signing machine responded. Either way, I was happy with it. But he turns
out to be amazing.
He turns out to be a hero in this as well, and it's because he actually was a veteran, and a lot of people don't know that. So he was extraordinarily sensitive to the this situation.
Agreed. And I had no political dog in this fight, LBJ versus Nixon, but Nixon is the hero in this story. The POWs call him Richard the Lionhearted. He is the one that finally ends this awful war. So I agree with you. And I will say, along the lines of what you said about Nixon responding to your card, his administration with the telegram in replies to every single one of those telegrams, in many cases with personal signatures, and multiple times to one wife who wrote three times. She got three different handwritten messages. And so that is to be commended.
And we're talking thousands of...
Thousands.
Yeah.
Thousands personally answered. So I, too, became quite partial to Richard Nixon. I'm actually writing Pat Nixon's biography next, because I became so intrigued by the Nixons, who I really knew very little about until I wrote this book.
Heath, we're running short on time, but I guess maybe transitioning and wrapping this up in a bow. You know, Nixon himself, when he was reelected, literally praised these spouses for their courage and their efforts. Did you see that maybe when their husbands finally came home, and what a victory, what a joyous moment for some of them, not so much for others when they got the bad news eventually, but did they then have sort of another Rosie the Riveter moment, Heath, after it was all said and done?
Yes, yes, exactly. It's difficult. You know, Jim and Sybil Stockdale have a wonderful book they wrote together called In Love and War. It's a classic of war. It's just an amazing dual memoir of that time. And they talk about how, you know, even though they were so glad this was all over, it was hard to recapture that time where they were, you know, fighting so hard to get this done. But there was something invigorating about it. And I think the wives all found such purpose and such empowerment in doing this that it was really hard to give up being diplomats, lobbyists, and coders to go back to the bake sale. You know, that just didn't happen. So there was a lot of adjustment in the marriage as well. But a lot of these women went on to have careers and also to be huge advocates in volunteer capacity. So it really did change everyone's lives for the better.
No question. I'm glad to hear that. Heath, you earlier you mentioned this as a cautionary tale, the value of 2020 hindsight. Could you explain real quickly what you mean by that, being a cautionary tale?
Yes, I think some of this is a cautionary tale about our government. I think we all have to be concerned citizens and be watching what the government does. Keeping people accountable is so important. And I think grassroots activism is so important. When things are not right, people need to stand up like these wives did and take some action. And you can do it. I guess the big lesson I got from this, or one of the big lessons, is as an individual, you may not be heard. These wives, when they were separately floundering, trying to get something done, could not. But when they bound together as a group, as this grassroots activist group, they became a very powerful lobby that the president and his national security advisor, Henry Kissinger, they would have bi-monthly meetings with the National League during this time. They become very powerful. So I don't know if I'd even say it's a cautionary tale so much as a tale of empowerment, that you can do stuff as a group. You can be really unstoppable.
Yeah, empowerment and inspiration. Heath, thank you so much for bringing this story to the American people. And I encourage folks to go out and buy it and read The League of Wives. Really, you're going to appreciate this book, ladies and gentlemen. Heath, we look forward to any news you got coming up about movies or anything like that. And please stay safe out there.
You too, Ben. I love being on the show. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard another great story. You can find over 300 more at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. Follow us on Facebook, on Twitter. Find us on your favorite streaming platforms, Spotify, Pandora, Apple, Google. We're everywhere. Please spread the word. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, all policies and procedures are remain in place. Take care.
You've been listening to American Warrior Radio. You can hear over 150 episodes of this program at AmericanWarriorRadio.com.
KVOI Cortero, AM.